Invite you to be seated as we pray. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us this hour, this day, that it might open our eyes to see the world as you do, might open our ears to hear your word and yours alone. It might open our hearts to love and serve as you have called us to love and serve this world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. One of the most important parts of growing up to be an adult, at least in my opinion, is learning how to prioritize. Typically, as a child or as a teenager, your parents make most of the biggest decisions in your life. What you're going to eat, what you might be able to buy, how much time you need to spend doing X, Y, or Z. And as you get older, you certainly need to spend, you need a bit better time management because more of those decisions are put under your purview. But it's not really until you are out on your own, whether that is your first year at university or after you get your first job and move out of the house, that your decisions begin to take on primary significance or importance. How will I spend my money without my parents watching over me? How will I spend my time? And so on. And when you experience this kind of freedom for the first time, often it doesn't go very well. Teenagers with newfound responsibility often, though not always, because I'm sure all of you are very responsible, spend their money on frivolous pursuits, on entertainment. They spend their time doing everything but the one thing they should be doing, whether that's focusing on work or focusing on grades. And soon their schoolwork and their bank accounts begin to dwindle and under the mounting pressure of bad decisions. Soon hard choices need to be made about what to prioritize and what it means to live a good and productive life. Priorities matter. What you devote the most time and effort to shows, whether that be your family, your work, self-gratification, or a million other things that demand our attention. As we continue more and more into adulthood, our priorities may change, but the ones we spend the most time and effort on will typically define the life that we live. Making the right choices, so to speak, having the right priorities is difficult. Because more often than not, the right priorities are the ones that take the most work. They are the ones that demand from us the most time, the most energy, the most effort, and they are not as fun or as sexy as the other things that we might want to make our priorities. Priorities matter even more when it comes to our life with God, to the lives that God intends for us to lead in following his son Jesus. In our reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning, Jesus is being followed by a large crowd, and it seems that Luke is intent to tell us this. This is a large crowd, and seemingly because it is a large crowd, Jesus turns to them and tries his very best to disperse them. Because once again, the words that he speaks are no soft platitudes. These aren't suggestions to live your best life today. And they certainly aren't the words that your mother likely would like to hear. Jesus turns to the crowd and he tells them that anyone who wants to follow him and become his disciple has to hate their father, hate their mother, their wife, their children, hate their brothers and sisters, even hate life itself, because otherwise they can't be his disciple. And then he doubles down on this, and he tells them that anyone who wants to be his disciple must carry their cross, must metaphorically, although sometimes literally for his disciples, carry the brutal Roman instrument of torture that would mark where Jesus was heading. Twice, Jesus says that you have to give up everything to take up the cross and follow him where he is going. The implication is that that large crowd had not done that, but had found it altogether too easy to fall in line behind Jesus. Now that was curious enough, but then Jesus goes on to tell these two quasi-parables, really they're more like analogies, that talk about counting the cost and doing prudent calculations in advance of these major projects. The upshot of these two analogies is easy enough to discern, but the way that Jesus tells them seems to be a left-handed rebuke at the crowd. It's almost as though Jesus is chiding that great multitude of people that were following him for not having a clue what they were doing, and that they were the ones who had in fact not counted the cost ahead of time. They were the people who had to abandon a building project before it was done. They were the people who had gone to war against a superior opponent due to lack of prudent advance work. They were foolish. This isn't exactly motivational speaking 101. Jesus makes the point that following him, that leading the life of discipleship, is a weighty task. It isn't something to be taken lightly. It isn't something to do or to choose on a whim. It's not part-time. It's something far more than that and then some. Something far greater, something far more all-consuming than we would ever rightly choose by ourselves. Jesus isn't out here preaching health and wealth. He isn't marching to some rosy palace with a gilded throne and inviting us all to come in. His path brings him face to face in opposition with the powers and the principalities of the world. His path brings him face to face with human suffering, with the people that are marginalized in his community, with the people who are ostracized and oppressed. And ultimately, his path brings him face to face with the power and reality of death. That is the cross, all of it, that Jesus bears. That is the path that he walks, and that is the path that he calls his disciples to walk as well. But for all of us here, or perhaps most of us here, the path of following Jesus has never been that difficult. And I want to begin by saying that it's no one's fault. You're not to blame, I'm not to blame. It's just part of the time and the place that we live in. We have all, for the most part, grown up in the church, or grown up at least in a culture that until recently accepted and even celebrated the role of the church had in society. It has never been a hard choice to be a Christian. I'm sorry to say that. It's never been a hard choice for any of us to be a Christian. In fact, over the last 50 years, the church in North America, here in Canada and across, even in Europe, has catered to us. It has sought to make it easier for us to be part of this whole endeavor. We have been taught that we should only sing songs that make us feel better, make us feel good and happy, rather than teach us about the truth of God and the reality of this world. We have been taught that the most important message to hear is one that uplifts us rather than challenges our way of life and the ways of the world. We have been taught that being nice is good enough rather than truly loving our neighbor, no matter how hard that may be. That doesn't sound like the Jesus we heard today. And so Jesus' words can sound particularly harsh to us. And we might try to overlook them. We might try to soften them a little, or we might try to rationalize them as something from a bygone age. But to do so, we do so at our own peril. Which brings us back to priorities. Jesus knows that we cannot walk the path that he has set before us, the path of discipleship, if it isn't our number one priority. If it is secondary or well below, if we're being honest, then we won't walk the path. Our life will not align with God's intended life for us. And we won't experience its benefits either. Now, a small corrective. When Jesus tells the crowd that they need to hate their families or even life itself, it sounds harsh, and it is. But the word hate, if you read the whole biblical narrative, generally means a lesser form of love. It's a strong preference for one over another, especially in this context. For example, God never hated Esau, but he preferred Jacob over him. God didn't hate the nations of the earth, but he preferred Israel over them and prepared for them a special purpose. And the same is true when Jesus says that we need to hate all these things because we need to have a special preference, a special love for God that dwarfs all others. So Jesus calls his disciples, he calls us to love God, to love his way and his life over and above our families, over and above our jobs, over and above the other priorities that seem so important to us and crowd our lives, because that's what it takes. That's what it takes for his kingdom to flourish in this world. That's what it takes for his kingdom of love and mercy to flourish in your life. That's what it takes so that we can experience eternal and abundant life here and now and forevermore. Prioritizing God, prioritizing Jesus and his kingdom, it is hard. Jesus was very clear about that all throughout his ministry, but particularly in our gospel reading today. Prioritizing God is hard. It means allowing God to shape the way that we make our decisions in every realm of our life, not just here on a Sunday morning, not just in your prayers in the morning, but everything you do needs to be shaped by God's priorities. It means allowing God's sacrificial love to govern the way that we love our families, our friends, our neighbors, even the strangers among us. It means allowing God's priorities for justice to govern our political decisions. It means allowing God's priorities for care of the poor and creation alike to shape the way we spend our money. And it means allowing God's priorities to shape the way that we do church. Yes, even the way we do church is not immune from God's changing priorities. It's hard work. It's not easy, and Jesus never said it would be. And to do this, we are fortunate because, as I try to remind us all every week, we are given the Holy Spirit. God has promised us, Jesus has promised us that he is with us to the end of the age in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are given that to walk this hard path. We are given one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that support us, that encourage us, that chide us, that exhort us, that help us to walk this path together. And so let us take the hard road, not the narrow way, as Jesus says. Let us make God our priority in our own lives, but also in the life of this church. Because that road leads to the kingdom. That road leads to eternal and abundant life. The other one doesn't. Let's choose life.